and Margot. Triple M Breakfast, made in Brisbane for Brisbane.
Our pre-Australia Day episode of Triple M Breakfast, and we have a sponsor for the show. Someone who we spoke to was Wendy from Graceville Fine Foods. She does a fantastic job helping out the local community.
She's an angel.
We've given her official sponsorship of the breakfast show.
And just to clarify, it's a deli and a cafe, and they do catering and all sorts of things. So if you need any of those, you're going to drop in for a bite to eat, or if you need something catered for a work event or a birthday party perhaps, use those small businesses who are helping others in need when they're in need themselves. It's a tough time.
Hey, what's your mum's name?
Mine?
Yeah.
Donna.
Donna. Now, were you always going to be Margot?
She wanted to call me Lauren, and then...
Lauren?
Yeah, my dad's sister called her daughter Lauren 6 months before me.
Oh, bugger.
And then she called me Margot, and then they used Margot as her middle name because she wasn't born with a middle name. So then they copied.
Get stuffed. Yep. Are they friends?
My mum. No.
No, that's because of that. Because your mum would have told her, oh, I'm pregnant.
Love the name Lauren. Yeah. And then she used it. Stealing baby names is
stinks.
A crime. I'm actually no longer friends with a girl who stole one of my baby names.
Mm.
8 weeks before I was due to give birth, she had a little boy and she called it the name that I was going to call my baby, and she pretended like she didn't know.
Your baby was a girl though?
No, both boys.
Okay, boys.
Which is now Jagger, but he was going to be called something else.
Wow. So you
hit
keep
a nerve.
Pretty tight.
Yeah.
Yeah,
geez.
Yeah, don't steal people's babies' names. No, it's okay. It's not my name to
one of those.
Own.
Yeah.
I get that. I actually had a friend of mine who works for another radio station ring me and ask if she could use my boy's name, Jagger, for her child.
No, you can't.
Well, I said yes because she asked. I'm like, well, I don't own it, babe.
Did she do
it? But just know that I did it first.
that's
used it.
That's important.
She did use it. It's a cool name though, Jagger.
So, cousin Lauren, you don't see so much?
No, she lives in Sydney and we just kind of, you know.
Oh, I know. After that big fight that Christmas.
Well, she can always listen to this podcast.
The reason is just a bogan name. So I just thought I wanted to see how...
Margot, is that a bogan name? M-A-R-G-A-U-X? It's French.
Oh, no. But we were talking about that guy that was called Shaden. Like, I'd never heard Shaden.
Shaden. Yeah, where does that...
That'll be in the podcast.
You'll hear that in a moment. And you'll also hear Marcus.
What about Gregory?
Well, that's the Pope's name. There's about 16 popes were called Gregory.
What about Jamie?
You know why Gregory came about? Because it's it's a changing of letters of George, and that was my grandfather's name. Yes.
Can I ask, Jamie, unisex name, obviously. Did you ever get teased as a young boy? Jamie's a girl's name.
No, when I was young, it was a boy's name.
You know, there's Tony, which can be used as a boy or girl. Kerry can be a boy or a girl. We had a Kim from Brussels who rang today. I thought it was going to be a female voice. It was a male voice.
Do you reckon that's lazy? Parents, they go, we'll do either or. We don't know what the sex is, and then we don't have to do any more thinking.
And they just change a Y to an I.
A lot of songs with Jamie in it, though.
Like what?
Oh, there's one where Jamie get hit by a car one day and
Jamie's
she died.
Jamie's got a gun.
She had a gun.
Jamie.
Was that Jamie?
Yeah.
Oh, that was Jamie.
So there's not many with Jamie, no.
What about Jess? Oh, no, that's Jesse.
Jesse's
got a gun.
Oh, no, I thought that was not Jamie.
No.
There's no Margot song.
Did Jesse have a friend called Jamie?
No, not at all. No.
There's not many Greg songs.
Was Jamie going to go my way?
No, that's Are You.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry. Anyway.
Lenny. Could Lenny be a girl's name?
Let's get into the catch-up podcast.
Or just wait until I go. Oh, no, go to the podcast.
Yeah,
whatever you may call tomorrow, Invasion Day, Reconciliation Day, Australia Day. I think it's all about coming together and celebrating as a nation, being kind to one another, remembering where we came from, what our history looks like, no matter what it is. Australia is such a multicultural country. You know, people come from everywhere. People have migrated here. People are celebrating in different ways all over the country tomorrow, whatever that may look like. Have a great day. I'll tell you what I'm going to be doing, Marto. We're going to a friend's place for a barbecue. Pretty standard. I think most people will either be hosting or going to a barbecue.
I don't know. This is where I'm wondering, Margo. Did you see they're not having the cockroach races at Storybridge Hotel? They're not having the Australia Day celebrations at South Brisbane? I was getting all fired up and then went, aren't we supposed to be doing it? we're shutting down again, are we?
Well, I'm not sure what they're doing here in Brisbane, but I know what's going to be happening in Cornubia, and that is cane toad races, because the cane toads are in full flight in Cornubia. There was about 100 of them in our front yard yesterday, and I was like, kids, tomorrow night we will be collecting those. We're going to have a very harmless cane toad race, and we're going to be obviously swimming in the pool. Our friends that we're going to, they've got a bit of acreage, so we're going to take the dirt bikes over there where they don't get any noise complaints because they back onto the bushland.
That's good.
The quads and the dirt bikes. Some other friends that will be joining us are going to be bringing their gel blasters, so we're going to have a gel blaster course set up where we can just shoot each other with pellets.
When Captain Arthur Phillip pulled up with the 11 boats and 1,400 men, they hopped off, they got on their dirt bikes, they started shooting each other with the gel blasters, and then they said, let's get on it.
Aussie. That is so good.
The other suggestion yesterday from my son Wiley, who's 10, people that we're going to, he's a builder, Marto, Todd, and he's got an excavator bucket, you know, with the, what's the one with the head on it?
That's an excavator bucket.
Yeah. Wiley said, can you pull that up at the pool and put the excavator bucket upside down so we can jump out of it into the pool? He's going to fill up a little tip truck that he's got, little tipper. He's going to line it with black plastic, fill it full of water, and we can use that as a pool.
Can you get him at some stage to scoop up water in the bucket and all the kids stand around and
just dump it on them.
Amazing.
Wonderful 353. The most Australian way to celebrate Australia Day.
We've got to have
it. Looks different for everybody. For me, it's dirt bikes and gel blasters and excavators. What is it for you, Marto?
I'm going fishing tomorrow morning in the Brisbane River for the first time. I've never fished in the Brisbane River before.
Ever.
I'm always in the bay or over at Moreton.
You should go and get some of that salmon that's down at the port there. You know, that little special spot where the grain
salmon
falls.
Bloody oath. I'm going to get in the kayak, do that, then I'm going to go home, mow the lawn.
Drink Australian.
A beer. Are you going to wear pluggers while you mow the lawn?
Yeah.
Have a beer?
Bloody oath.
A Forex?
Probably have a hanky with knots on the corners of it. Then I'll probably go to my brother's and complain about stuff.
Drink rum.
Oh, how Australian is that?
Australia, how good.
And then I'm not coming to work on Thursday.
Hangover of all hangovers. 1-3-3-5-3.
What do you want, the most Australian?
Well, I understand and am respectful of those who are choosing not to celebrate and those who are choosing to celebrate differently, but 1-3-3-5-3. How are you celebrating Australia Day tomorrow? Is it any more Australian than excavators, fishing, gel blasters, and mowing your lawn?
1-3-3-5-3.
Here's Matt from Raceview. Kick us off, mate. What are you doing for Australia Day? That's Aussie.
Yeah, mate, we're having a housewarming party. We bought a house in Raceview in October. Just built a deck around the pool around Christmas time.
Beautiful.
Got about 30 or 40 friends around with a pig on the spit.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Geez, you'll have to get that sorted tonight, won't you?
I'll pick it up at 5:30 this afternoon, mate, and I've organised Thursday, Friday off work already, so I don't have to have a picky.
You know what you're going to have? I can see it right now because I've fallen for the trap, the party before the party tonight.
And a headache on Thursday.
Well done,
will there
Matt.
Be any thong throwing, Matt, or cane toad racing or lamington eating competitions?
Oh, I think, there'll be races in the budgie smugglers. There'll
be
a few of us old fat blokes that have got budgie smugglers.
Beautiful.
There'll be a bomb diving competition, I would hope, Matt.
Maybe off the roof.
Oh,
don't condone
like your
that.
Don't try that at home, kiddies. Be safe, Matty.
Is there anything more Australian than being last and coming first in a ice skating challenge? Anyway, you've got some last man standing beer for Australia Day. Congratulations. Thanks for the call, Matt.
Cheers. Thank you very
much. You can't be safe and Australian, Margo.
No.
You've got to be one or the other.
I've got a list of games that we want to play tomorrow. And there's the sausage dunking one where you've got to tie the sausage to your waist and it hangs down through the back of your leg so it looks like it.
A poo.
Oh, and then you've got to try and get it in the hole of the toilet paper roll, which is also what I've been searching for toilet paper. But then there's the other one where you tie a tissue box around your back. You put a ping pong ball in it and you've got to try to bounce it out of the box.
So if anyone ever wonders, what do those guys do during the songs? That was Margo showing me how those games
are going to twerk and get the ping pong ball out.
Kim from Brassel, what are you doing? What's the most Australian way you're going to celebrate?
Mate, I've got a 5-day weekend planned.
Are you taking the 5-day weekend Thursday, Friday into the end of the week, or did you take Monday, Tuesday?
No, it starts this afternoon, between 3 and half past 3.
Yeah. So you've taken 2 days off and you get 5 days.
Absolutely.
That is so Australian.
There was actually
Kim,
a TikTok video that came out that showed you how to take advantage of the public holidays in the year and how to get the least amount of sick days or leave days. Anyway,
can't
Bruce
you just
from
look
Grange.
At a calendar? Why would you have to go to TikTok to find that?
That's what all
Bruce.
The kids are doing these days. What Bruce.
Good morning. How are you going?
Is there a more Australian name than Bruce to be talking about Australia Day shenanigans? What are you getting up to tomorrow, Bruce?
Well, I'm actually a Kiwi and my name's Bruce and I'm actually going to get my Australian citizenship tomorrow.
Oh, beautiful. Nice.
How long you been here, Bruce?
22 years now.
Oh, what took you so long, Bruce?
Who knows?
Just
got to hold on to the Kiwi passport, you know.
So where have you got to go to do this? Are you going to City Hall?
No, Grange Bowls Club, because I live in the Grange. So
that's a great
place.
That's
even more Aussie, isn't
the
it?
Grange Bolo. Is it a proper ceremony, or who officiates?
Who does that?
Yeah, no, it's a proper ceremony, so I think the local MP will be there and all sorts of stuff. So.
Trevor Evans or someone.
Incredible. Yeah. Well, all right. Congratulations.
Hold on, hold on. Don't let him get away with this. Don Bradman's batting average?
99.
Oh, that's close enough. 19.94. Listen to this Well, listen to this, Bruce. Ned from Upper Kedra might be able to help. He's going hunting for dunny rolls, and when he can't find any, we'll have a barbecue in the Arvo and play Goon of Fortune. Is that the one on the clothesline?
Yeah, it is.
That is the one on the clothesline.
Bruce knows all about it.
Have you got another question
for
Bruce?
What year did Cyclone Yasi hit North Queensland?
Oh, jeez, I wouldn't have a clue.
No, neither do I. I don't have the answer. But congratulations, Bruce. Welcome to Australia.
Well,
congratulations.
Up the road is Brad and the team at Roadie Meats, simply the best butcher, Stafford Heights. That's for you for Australia Day.
I think
$100 to spend there, Brucey.
I think, Bruce, the real test is Aussie!
Oi, oi, oi.
That was soft, Bruce.
Marto and Margot, Triple M Breakfast.
God, I was watching the telly the other night. And I went, God, this Wendy Bird's a champion. It was called Helping Our Heroes, like helping our nurses and frontline workers. I thought, oh, what's this all about?
Wendy posted about the thoughtful gesture on her Graceful Fine Foods Facebook page and was inundated with similar offers.
She got a note from a friend who is a nurse, said, listen, I'd like to buy a heap of food from you, which helps her business, for all the nurses because they've become a COVID ward. You know that familiar tale?
Yeah, terrible. And she joins us now, Wendy Cox, to tell us all about it from Gracefield Fine Foods. Wendy, an incredible initiative. You've had a huge response to it.
Oh, it's been absolutely massive, just mind-blowing, really.
So it started with just your mate going, I don't know, she probably fronted with 40 or 50 bucks or something, did she?
Well, she didn't actually give us a money offer, and I just thought, you know what, we can do better than this. Like, obviously, because of COVID, we can't afford to give everything away. So put it on Facebook, and a half an hour later, we had an easy $2,500 just donated to us to start cooking meals.
Incredible.
I got goosebumps. It's awesome.
Yeah. Wendy, tell us why she initiated this originally and came to you with it. What was she seeing at the hospitals?
Well, her ward is an orthopaedic ward, and they've just changed over to a COVID ward. So they've had to learn how to wear the PPE gear for 12 hours, and you can't even stop to have a drink without taking it all off and then starting all over again. So the morale had just dropped so much, and she just wanted to do something to boost her team up a bit. So, yeah, that's why she contacted
now,
me.
Now, what did you put together for those nurses? Because I saw it in the story. They said, Margo or I couldn't just drop some food off because we're not licensed food people, but you can. What have you bundled together for them?
Oh, well, I've got an amazing chef, and he's done such delights as lemon chicken with rice and spaghetti bolognese's and curries and salads.
Incredible.
And, sandwiches and carrot cakes and caramel slices and, he just goes on and on.
A lot of those nurses eat out of a bloody vending machine
and
so busy.
And anyone who's stayed in a hospital can attest to the fact that hospital food is the worst. So I can't imagine that the staff there are getting fed any better, Wendy. They're going to be – when have you delivered this to them yet, or you're going to deliver it?
Yeah, we fed 160 nurses last week. So we did three drops, two to the Ipswich Hospital, one to the Mater Hospital. And then we start again tomorrow back at the Mater Hospital. So, and, you know, the more money donations that we get, the more that we can do, which is just incredible.
Tell us what COVID, let's get back to the nurse thing, but tell us what COVID's done to your business. Like, you've been up and down. I suppose you've had no staff.
And I just start crying. Just every day, you just don't know what's going to happen. And you have to keep changing things and, you know, staff calling sick, and then the government changes the rules again, and then people are yelling at us because they don't want to wear a mask, or they don't want to, you know, it just... But anyway, we're fighters and we're not going to stop.
Can I check? You've probably got your house mortgage on the line and attached to the Graceful Fine Foods, have you?
Don't mention the power bill, all right?
You're struggling to keep your head above
financial
water.
Financial pressure is incredible, let alone mentally, emotionally, physically.
Yeah. You just pick a bill and, you know, out of a hat each week and go, okay, we'll pay you this week and everybody else has to wait. So,
and here you are helping others when, you know, you potentially could do with your own help, Wendy. How can people get on board if they're interested or they want to help you help others?
Well, they can just go onto our Facebook page and we've got a GoFundMe nurse page there and they can just donate if they possibly can. Or they can call Chris Hemsworth to come and see me. That would be even better.
We've tried, Wendy. Don't worry. We've tried.
Hey, Wendy, you're a very special girl. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
We might hold Wendy on the line there. Marto, we were talking during the song. Yeah. We want to help Wendy out. We're trying to do more lend-a-hands.
Wendy, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, you've really touched our heart. And Margo's just saying we want to do things because we realise the power, the unbridled power of radio, and we can actually help out. So we're sitting here during the song going, what do we do? What do we do?
We had 3 minutes 30, Wendy, to try and come up with something because Genesis is so generous with their song. We thought, what's the best thing that we can do right now for you? And that is getting people through your doors to help support your business so that you can continue helping others like you're doing.
Wendy, are you there?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry.
All right, so the only thing we've got to give is air, and a lot of people who listen to that air, our audio producer is awesome, Rick. He's one of the greatest in Australia. He does things like, Wendy, I don't know if you're normally a listener, he does things like this.
Well, Marto spends incredible amounts of time with Rick in the morning coming up with
slipperiest
some...
thing you've ever slipped on. There was smelliest smell you've ever smelt. There was...
This one? Actually really
died. Yeah, when people actually...
Or there's when did your truck get stuck? I mean, he comes up with a jingle basically for anything and everything. And advertising costs money, Wendy, and we know that money is tight for you. So we thought maybe, seeing as though we work for a radio station who... advertiser's business, that we might give you some free advertising. How would that sound?
Oh, my God. You guys are amazing. You don't have to do anything for me, though. This is just...
Well, Wendy, my Sparky rang up, Colin's wife, Jen, and they said, this Wendy from Graceful Fire, they live around the corner. I don't want to identify them any further. You helped out during the 2011 floods. You fed everyone. Apparently, you fed all the farmers during the drought. You are a serial...
helper.
Nice, wonderful person. So,
Wendy, we want to do something for you. We're going to make you our show sponsor this week, and we're going try and plug your business as much as we can. Marto has just spent some time in with Rick, our audio guy.
Don't blame me.
He has come up with a bit of a jingle, but let's see if during the traffic ads and news we can come up with a bit of a proper radio advertising commercial for you. But this is one that we prepared just recently.
Graceville Fine Foods taste terrific in your tummy. Breakfast, lunch, and in between, their food's very yummy. Whatever flavour, whatever is your mood, do yourself a favour, head to Graceville Fine Foods.
Wendy?
That's amazing.
It's our pleasure. Now,
that's on behalf of Marto. We do have our incredible producer, Snowy, working on a proper radio ad for you, Wendy.
Wow,
but because of this amazing initiative that you are continuing to feed our beautiful frontline workers who are just struggling and buckling under the pressure of our health system at the moment, we wanted to help you a little bit because we know how tough it's been.
I don't know whether the piano accordion is going to
make it.
I think it's got to go.
I think it's
the last time you heard one of them in an ad.
Hey, thanks, Wendy. Well, great done to talk to you. Graceful Fine Foods. Your ad is coming up in just a tick at Triple M.
Marto and Margot. Triple M Breakfast.
World never be the same after today. January 25th. Yes, folks, the worldwide release of Shane, the documentary.
The documentary, right?
I saw this very briefly yesterday on the TV. Yeah. Is it a documentary about his cricketing life or is it about...
Seems to be. It seems to be. Amazon Prime, it's on. From today, you're able to get it. I've only seen the two-minute trailer. That's the thing. And it's not... For anyone of my vintage, in Australian schools in the 70s and 80s, they made you watch this movie. It was a classic Western. It was called Shane.
Oh.
And he was a gunslinger who came to town and ended up shacking up with this single woman and protecting her and her son. And then, it was so sad at the end when he wandered away.
Oh.
Come back, Shane.
Oh, Shane.
It was There's already been a Shane. So this is Shane 2.
I don't know why they didn't call it Warnie. You know, like that's what everybody knows he has. Warnie. That would have been a better title. That's attention.
Bold Warnie. Like, why?
Attention grabbing.
It's already
happened. Why Shane? I mean, we've had Kenny.
Yeah.
Shane's already been, you just told us.
Well, why can we have, when are we going to have Gary or Warren? Just, are we going to call them jockeys? Yeah. Murray.
Bruce. Like,
yes. Anyway, I don't even know whose voice this was.
When Warn emerged, it was the best thing that had happened to cricket for a long time.
Chock full of stars, like Ed Sheeran got to go.
One of the few rock and roll sportsmen, and I think people really liked that about him.
Chris Martin from Apple, I don't know how he got involved.
Even I get swept up in it, even though I know it's ridiculous.
It's like his birthday, you know, like when it's someone's birthday, they're like an ode to them. You know, happy birthday, big fella.
This is your life.
This is your life.
Oh, and then Warnie talking about himself, which he loves doing.
I was front page, back page, middle page, and everything was good.
That's Warnie.
Oh, he was having a great time.
And then Ian Botham got, and actually he made, and I also believe in these words.
You have to make sacrifices to be an international sportsman and to be the best. You've got to be selfish.
Your husband
very
also,
selfish.
And that's what athletes are like. You've got to look after your body, yourself,
you come
and
first.
Everything. Yeah, unfortunately, did Warnie need to be this selfish?
Cricket was always my number one priority. That doesn't mean I didn't value my family, but they were second.
Wow.
That's a big
statement.
But when you think about it, I don't know. There was only like a minute in the 2 meter trailer. There was voiceovers and everything else. It looks interesting, Warnie. But what I want to know, does it include, and it'll pan out, it could go for 7 hours if it includes all his indiscretions.
Oh, here we go.
Like, does it include, you know, the bookie incident with Mark Waugh in 1994? Does it include when his mum gave him those tablets and said, this will take a bit of weight off? That's is that all they were? Yeah. Oh, you'll get off that. That'll be no worse. Was it when he was dirty talking to the British nurses and they said, hold on, Warnie, you're not going to be vice captain of Australia anymore? Was it when he took the smoking, huge no-smoking contract with Nicorette, and then the young kids took a photo of him in New Zealand and then he chased him around with a bat? Was it that day? Was that in the movie? Was it when he had the feud with Ponting and he also had that feud with Steve Waugh? Was it about the foursome that he had with Kev Peterson and those two girls?
Yeah, okay.
Was it when he had that South Australian, you know, single mum over in South Australia?
What they've done here, Marto. they're keeping the cricket, the serious side.
Oh, this will Shane, be Shane 3.
This will be Netflix season 2.
I haven't finished it. Was it when he was in the Playboy?
We've got to go. News, Triple M.
Sex workers. Margo, you often say, geez, you're getting a bit old, Marto, and you're attracting some old listeners. Well,
I never say that, Marto, not to your face anyway.
Well, here is the ultimate. This is something we have never done before, but I'm so proud to introduce to Brisbane our oldest listener and a man that turns 100 years of age, Charles. Good morning, sir. Charles Thompson. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy birthday, Charles. 100, massive milestone.
Well, I don't know what all the fuss is about, but it's just another birthday.
Just another year.
You can't say that. When you turn 100, you've got to la-la-la it up. And Lois is with you. Hi, Lois, your wife.
Hi, Lois, he said.
Oh, we'll devote our time to you, Charles. Now, somebody told me, Anglican Church Grammar School over at East Brisbane, you're the oldest living churchy old boy?
I am, yes, and they've been wonderful. They've been absolutely wonderful.
Well, they've looked after you. You only went there for 4 years, and they 5 years.
Charles, you'd be the oldest living member of any organisation that you've been a part of. Did you ever think you'd see 100?
Well, I didn't give it a lot of thought, actually.
You just kept living.
You just got there.
I didn't give it a lot of thought, no. You just live your life, you know.
Oh, well, everyone always wants to know the secret to longevity and also what wisdom have you got. What should we all do to get to 100?
Eat Uncle Toby's rolled oats every morning.
Uncle Toby's rolled oats every morning. Well, I'm on the right track. Do you have them with honey or without?
Oh, well, I'm a diabetic. I can't have anything sweet, so I have it just straight.
A lot of people like to have a drink and they go, I don't know, should I do it in my old age? Do you have a drink? Are you allowed to have a little tipple?
Oh, well, of course, of course. Yeah, I like my little nip at night, Scotch whiskey.
Charles, now, if you need help with technology, like someone like me will call my kids, do you call your 70-year-old kids if you're having trouble with technology?
No, you call the grandchildren. Oh,
how many grandchildren and great-grandchildren have you got, Charles?
14.
14 great-grand... Is that great or grand?
14, yeah, 14 grandchildren. I don't think there are any great ones yet. I haven't counted if there are.
Or you forgot.
Oh, Charles, it is such a treasure talking to you, and happy birthday for your 100.
Thank you very much.
I don't know if you've put two together, but my mum's Sherl, who lives on the same floor as you, which with COVID, etc.
Rang me last night to tell me.
Oh, nice one. Well, mate, she loves you, and Brisbane now loves you as well. You're a star. You're our oldest listener at Triple M, and we really appreciate you taking our call. Happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
Happy birthday, Charles. Well,
thank you so much. Happy New Year to all of you. I hope it's a great one for you. Beautiful.
Thank you, mate. Charles Thompson, wonderful artist and painter who just turned 100 today. He was formerly from Winton. He was a bushy when he was young, went down to Sydney, now he's in Brizzy. Thanks, mate.
Yes, that's right.
Oats and whiskey.
What a sweetie, Marto. Geez, he thought you were funny, didn't he?
that laugh of his. Charles, I think you're listening now, mate. You're still listening, you and Lois. So, congratulations. Our first ever centenarian on the show.
Do you remember when we spoke to Dexter, who was also...
Oh, he lived to about 115,
yeah,
Dexter, didn't he?
And he gave us some advice too. I reckon 133353. What's the advice that you've been given for longevity by your elders? You know, it could be a grandparent, it could have been your parents who lived to a ripe old age. What was the secret to their longevity?
So Charles was Scotch and oats.
Yeah.
And he also had that good laugh attitude.
Hang on, what about Dexter's got the secret
here.
It's my secret. I'm not going to tell anybody.
Okay, he's keeping it to himself.
Well, he was amazing. Anyone else got advice from their grandparents, their parents, whatever, that allowed them to live a long
time? Remember Dexter said, eat till you're eat when you're hungry, sleep when you're tired.
Laugh when you think something's funny. Oh, I don't know.
Breathe, keep breathing.
God, let's
or you'll die.
Oh, yeah. If you don't breathe, you'll die.
Exactly.
Jim from Narangba, have you ever had some advice from an old bloke?
Yeah, mate. I was told you can be happy or you can be right, but sometimes you can't be both.
So true. Yeah. Did your wife tell you that or an old bloke? All right.
No, it was if you want to be happy, I'm always right, would have been the advice from his wife.
I know.
That's what I keep telling you, Marto.
I don't need to get it at work. I get it at home.
Scott from Cedarvale, hello.
Good morning.
Yeah, good. We got some beautiful advice there from Charles about longevity of life. Have you been given some from an old fella in your life?
Yeah, my grandfather, on his 90th birthday, he's 94 now.
Still going?
I did that. I asked him, what's his trick? Because he lives on the Broadwater down the Gold Coast there, directly on the water. You know,
if you say jet skiing every day, you're going to blow my mind.
Yeah. No, I said to him, what's your secret? You must go for a walk every day. And he's like, I've been here 20 years and never walked at once. He said, a glass of Scotch each night, and that keeps him going.
That'll kill anything in three, won't it?
Is it disinfectant, is it? Scotch.
Good on you, Scotty. Appreciate the call.
Love it.
Triple M.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margot.
Margot, early in the morning, a lot of people don't make it through to the end of the show. And late yesterday, we were talking about pivoting from one job to the other. I used to do that, now I do this, based on my wife is used to make toweling shorts until recently. Well, she now, subbies it out to somebody else.
And she's studying to be a pharmacy assistant.
Pharmacy assistant. It's quite funny. She just went, I love talking to old people about their problems. Mm. I went, Jesus, I can't run far enough. But that's what she loves doing. People, and then we discovered people on our show went, oh, God, yeah, me too.
I worked in retail for 31 years for one of the major retailers. Yeah, and couple of years ago, I decided I've had enough. I became a correctional officer.
I was an accessory fitter for a large automotive company. You know, a lot of heavy lifting and fiddly work with your hands. The doctor told me I had arthritis. I did a training course and became a disability support worker.
I was at the Brisbane Casino for 15 and a half years. Took a career break and was driving a concrete truck for nearly 10 years. I'm now a driving instructor.
Croupier to concreter to driving instructor. What an employment line in your life. 133353, we want to know, what has been your biggest change in jobs when you shifted careers? It could have been, you moved to a different state, you got divorced, yep. COVID impacted your work line. There's so many things.
Was it pivoting? Was that the word in the pandemic? You pivoted from one thing to another, but these were giant quantum leaps. Can we do it again?
Absolutely.
I mean, I was a stay-at-home mum for 8-9 years, Marto, and then I landed myself in some radio. You know, like, that's a career change. A lot of people go back after...
I knew it
being
had to be
home.
About you at some stage. Jason Burfengary, what about you, mate? Did you pivot?
Yeah, mate, I'm just transitioning from teaching into law, mate.
What were you teaching at school?
Home economics.
So sewing and cooking.
No, and there's a lot more than just sewing and cooking, but yes, effectively, yes.
Effectively. And what made you decide you wanted to become a lawyer?
Oh, look, I really like learning, Margot. Hey, and I think with any craft, there's an art and science to all things that you can learn. And I think with teaching, for me, the time has come for me to move on. There's minimal challenge now. Even though I enjoy the kids in the kitchen, it's a great job. And to be honest, I feel really blessed to have it.
Kids in the kitchen used in a sentence. I'm very impressed. Hey, Chase, so there was that moment, but it's a big, like, you had to work every night of the week doing your study and everything. Is it? Where are you sitting right now? Have you got a job as a...
I finished this year, Marto, so I've got 3 subjects to finish.
Wow.
And I'm all done.
What sort of law do you want to practice, Jason?
Criminal defence.
Oh.
Working with kids, yeah.
It's one and the same, isn't it?
Jason,
you might see a few of your former students.
Would you like beer or meat for Australia Day? A little reward for them.
I'm off the drink, so I'd go meat for Australia Day, mate.
Yeah, well, Brad would love to help you out. The boys from Roadie Meat, simply the best butcher, Stafford Heights. There's $100 for you.
Nice,
for Australia Day. Thanks for the call.
See you guys. Take care.
Michael from Scarborough. What about this, Marto, on the burner phone?
Yeah.
He went from being a garbo to a real estate agent, right? He was a garbo for 30 years, but after 7 years in real estate, he was able to retire.
I love it, isn't it? That's unreal.
Incredible.
Good on you, Michael.
Thanks, Michael.
Don't can't put everyone through, but we can. David from Amberley, what was yours from and to?
Morning, everyone. Electrician after school, then finance officer with a bank, and then HPE teacher.
Wow, what an incredible transition. So, Sparky, straight out of school, you would have done your trade. Then what was the move from being an electrician into a financial officer?
Why?
I was crawling through the ceiling and I think, my man dies up here, they'll never get him out.
Hey, don't you reckon? I always say that's where jail should be, up in the ceilings of Queenslanders in summer. Do you agree?
Indeed.
The little fibres that stick into your skin?
Yeah,
they hurt.
It's just so hot. Like, it's 20 degrees hotter. Anyway, who we got?
Helen from Ipswich. Morning.
Morning.
Hey, Helen. Yeah, good. Did you have a transition in employment where you went from one thing into something completely different?
Yeah, I moved from media and journalism and decided that I'd quit that and become an apprentice electrician. Why not?
Helen, amazing.
Why not?
Why and when did you make this transition? Was it just recently?
Yeah, so I'm a year into my apprenticeship.
My God, that's brilliant.
So during COVID, you decided, I'm sick of being a journalist. I don't want to report on the media of COVID anymore, perhaps.
Something like that, yeah. There was definitely big changes and I thought, hey, I'll make a big change too.
What was the tipping point? Like, what did you see about an electrician? Did you see a good-looking one or did you find out how much money they make? What was the story?
Oh, mate, I saw the best-looking one and I decided that I'd go work for him and maybe marry him too.
And
now we work together and it's awesome.
Hold on, have you married...
This is part of the progression, isn't it, Helen?
So, yeah, no, my tradesman is my husband.
Oh,
nice.
So,
that's cute.
Hold on. That's a different concept. You're an apprentice to your husband.
Yeah, definitely.
I love that. That's beautiful. Mixing work and pleasure. You obviously like him a lot, Helen.
Did you hear the boss in the background? What did the boss What did he say?
He said, hey, how you going?
Does he say, let's pay attention to the last caller, David, who stopped being a Sparky. Does your husband send you up into the ceilings?
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Makes you do all the rubbish
what a
work.
Guy.
He does, but he always does the dirty work himself.
Oh, that's right, good. Are you a good apprentice, Helen? Are you loving being a Sparky?
Oh, Nathan, am I a good apprentice?
The best, oh, of course. Yeah, right, he's a good, he's a good man.
He knows.
Safe.
Matt from Gordon Park. What were you? What did you become?
Mate, I left school and did about 15 years as a wall and floor tiler, so I was a dirty tradie. And then I did, similar to Margo, I think I did about 7 or 8 years at home with the kids, and then my wife said I needed to go back to work because I was going mad. And I became a medical perfusion technician, so I look after heart-lung machines in cardiac theatres now.
Oh, my Jesus. Goodness. Tyler, what? To stay-at-home dad to medical whatever you said. what an incredible transition, but why all the changes? Why from being a Tyler to a stay-at-home dad, Matt?
Oh, my wife earned more money than I did, so it just made financial sense.
Yep.
Did your knee survive?
They were pretty sore towards the end after, you know.
You're feeling better now.
So long. Yeah, the heat's better.
Did you have to, do some sort of training or study to go from being an at-home dad into the medical profession that you're in now?
It's more on-site training and just learning as you go. But yeah, it's been pretty interesting. I've got to learn a lot of stuff about hearts and meet some pretty interesting people.
Incredible.
Well done.
Start in the early hours of the morning.
It's never too late, is it, Matt, to turn your life around or change it or do something different or be something else?
No, it's great.
Inspirational. There'll be someone driving along right now who's going, right.
I'm sick of doing this.
I'm going to change things later on today. Maybe next week. Next year.
What happens, Marto. You say, I'll do it. I'll stay safe. I'll do it later or when I've got something else lined up. And then you never end up. And then you end up working at the cannery for 37 years.
Or the radio station for 21 years.
Matt, and welcome along. First time caller as well. Thanks for calling Triple M Breakfast.
Oh, welcome, Matt.
We've got some last man standing beer for you. No, I've got stuff for you.
Hang on, wait, Matt.
We're swamping you with beer.
Don't leave so soon. He hasn't been here before. He's not familiar with the process.
Oh, when you call, you get stuff. Last man standing beer. 100% Aussie-owned for Australia Day. Experience the legendary refreshment of ice-cold last man standing Australian lager.
Well, I heard once you go craft, you never go draft.
Clever, I like that.
Is that a saying?
I just made it up.
It is now. Good. Run with it. Triple M. Motto and Margo on Triple M Breakfast. Morning, this is Triple M Breakfast. It's Marto and Margo. A couple of showers around for the next few days. Not too much, though. 1 to 5 mils and around about 30 degrees. Lack of toilet paper around Logan.
Well, I couldn't find any yesterday. I went to Coles, I went to Woolworths, I went to the servo. No one had any. Their shelves were empty, Marto. So I had to resort to buying disposable wipes because we as a family of six have got one toilet paper. I'm using two squares at the moment per
Let's wipe. We're going to talk about hoarding later in the show around 7:30 or so. That's hoarding of rat hair. Yeah, rats and hoarding of toilet paper. But right now, you put that note yesterday afternoon on our little group chat about using the wipes, and I immediately went, "Don't do it," because one of my best mates is a plumber, and he goes, "It's the greatest way for us to make money because they just clog everything up. They're the worst clogger of things up." That's what I've been told.
Yeah, well, I just always assumed that, you know, if it's branded disposable wipes that are able to be flushed, then you can do that.
Does it say flushable on them?
It says flushable.
Have we got some here? What are these ones like?
No, it's not those. They're like a proper Kleenex toilet wipe. You buy them in the toilet paper section.
Hey.
I think they're, I don't know. Craig from Thornlands, you're a plumber.
Yeah, good.
What do you reckon?
Yeah, you can flush them down there. They're made of biodegradable stuff now, like your toilet tissue.
Yeah, okay.
What ones are these, though? Which ones are you talking about, Craig?
The ones that you get at Woolies or Coles.
Okay.
They're like in the 40-pack or 80-pack. Yeah.
Disinfectant wipe. No?
Well, I don't know. It's just a toilet wipe. It's not like the ones you wipe your hands or your face with.
These ones here. I'm talking about face wipes.
These are proper toilet wipes. Like
do not flush wipes. I'm reading off the packet. Do not flush wipes. Dispose of in trash and recycle plastic packaging.
Because most people just flush all of them. Wouldn't sort of look and go, and is that disposable or is that?
Well, no, in the toilet paper section, that's like one or two little packets left of flushable wipes.
Oh,
like
so
nothing
flushable.
Else.
All right, Raymond. Ray from Bodezi, are you a plumber?
No, I'm a sucker truck operator.
Oh, Jesus.
So we go to a lot of septics.
Yes, righto.
Yeah, what they end up doing, they sit on top and they mat together like carpet, and they're that hard. Brilliant for us. They clog up. If you're in the older system, like you got the old septic.
Well, we've got the old BioCycle, Raymond.
Yeah, well, the BioCycle, they'll float on top as well. See, they're no good actually for any biosystems or any the older septic systems, because they actually float. They don't actually let the actual toilet to breathe.
Right. It's very important that you came on today.
Germs in there and everything.
How often do you find this? Every single day that you go out and pump septics?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially rental properties.
Yeah, they don't care.
They don't care.
Drive them like they stole them.
And some people do, like the older generation do know. If it's brown, flush it down, or if it's yellow, let it mellow.
Thank you. They're great words of wisdom pre-6 o'clock, Ray. Thank you, mate.
We got lots of texts on the burner phone. Thank you, Raymond. Jake from Caboolture said that he had a lady recently swear black and blue. She'd never used wipes. Opened up the pipes and it's clogged with months' worth.
Everyone might want to have this chat to the females in their family. Gary from Wellington Point. All Mitre 10s are now selling toilet paper.
Yeah, and Paul from Main Beach said, try your local pharmacy. Most of the discount drug stores and those of the larger pharmacies also have stocks of toilet paper.
A few little tips there from the show and our listeners. Thank you, guys.
How much smarter can you get pre-6?
Marto's burner phone. Anytime you want to send us a message that we can pass on air, please. It's 0484 10 1045.
Oh, Marto, there's an old saying, once you go craft, you'll never go dry.
You made it up. You said you made that up.
Oh, I did.
It's a bloody good one.
A good one. I think it'll become an old saying.
The reason I came up with that little number is because the top 100 craft beers have been announced in the country.
Oh, wank, wank.
And 3 of 5 of those beers are Queensland beers. And so many of our listeners are loving craft beer at the moment. I know, Jamie, you love Marto, it. Look, don't be a downer on it. I know you're not a lover of the craft beer. What is it about it that you don't like?
The taste.
Oh.
That's a good
what
start.
Else is there?
Generally,
I can only ever drink one.
Oh,
and I'm a multi drinker. That's why I drink 4X Gold because I still want to operate, but I like drinking a few if I'm with friends
and
fishing or doing
$15
whatever.
A pint, by the way, for a craft beer. That helps.
All right, the Bolter. Now that is the Bolter a craft beer? Do you call that a craft beer?
Number 2 on the top 100 list of beers, Marto.
See, that's nonsense.
It's a Gold Coast beer.
It's owned by Asahi. They paid $40 million for it. Can you still call that a craft? Beer?
Well, it was founded by childhood mates and surfer, obviously, Mick Fanning. But they were bought out by Carlton United Breweries.
Mm. Mm. As soon as you call your beer a craft beer, you can
add
30-40% to the price. Like craft beers, packet of 4 for Bolters. Sorry, Bolters. I loved them. They were the only one I seemed to like. I think it was $22 or $23 for a 4-pack.
Is it boutique beer? Would that be more?
What's the diff between craft and boutique?
I don't know. What's the difference between craft and lager? I mean, I don't really know what I'm talking about, but I thought it was interesting because...
Tell me. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Gold Coast Bolter came in at number 2.
Number 2.
And then Your Mates Brewing Co. From the Sunny Coast.
Who's that?
They come in at number 3.
Which mate?
And then Black Hops Brewery also come in at number 4.
Yeah, is that the name of the brewery, the other one? Your Mates?
Your Mates, that's the name of the beer.
You meant Marte, it's Your Mates.
Your Mates Brewery.
Your Mates.
Not Your Mate.
No.
Your Mates.
Yeah. What are they, mate? Is that the name of their beer?
That's the name of their beer, the Sunshine Coast Beer.
You mean Old Mates. Old Mates Beer.
Old Mates is good, isn't it?
Yeah, Old Mates.
Yeah, they had an Australian. Australian pale ale called Larry.
Of course they did. Okay. Are they in this in terms of sales or is it in terms of
voting?
Some survey?
No, it's like the hottest 100. They do a craft beer
version. You're not allowed to mention that over here.
Oh, sorry.
Wiggles won that. But the winners of the hottest 100 beers, Marto, was Bent Spoke Brewing Company. They're an ACT brand down
spelling?
There in Canberra.
Can I check the spelling?
Bent Spoke.
B-E-N-T,
like a bent bikes. Spoke on your bike.
Mm. Oh, it's around push bikes.
S-P-O-K-E. I
had one of them?
It's my favourite beer.
Oh, my God.
Of course it is, James.
Yeah. I voted.
How many times did you vote?
A lot. It's 22-7.
It was.
I was just trying to see if I could find Last Man Standing beer on here.
Not sure.
I'll keep looking. There's a lot to get through.
Yeah, it's a good beer.
Away. Yeah. We're so much away.
2,238 different beers were nominated by 281 breweries.
Mm.
We secured 30 spots.
It's a lot of crap beer too.
a lot of crap.
It's Eddie. You too.
Oh, look, try me
like
home
a
brew.
Give it's me a Corona with a wedge of lime any day.
I'm taking you for a beer at Revel, Marto. Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Let's talk about Noosa. Somebody needs to talk about
Noosa.
It. Noosa.
Such
now,
a
listen,
beautiful spot.
When I was a kid and growing up, you go up there and you go surfing and there was no one there. It was none of these people who are doing all the complaining right there up at Noosa actually are from Noosa. Nobody,
where did you surf at Noosa? Because you've got the little cove along Hastings Street.
You go all the way.
You go around the corner.
You go further past, yeah, where you park at the National Park.
Yes.
You'd either jump in there or you keep on going around to Granite or Tea Tree or any around the next two, three bars.
Yeah, beautiful.
Magnificent. There was no one there. You'd sleep in the back of your car and it'd all be sweet. And then all the Victorians said, well, what's this? Noosa.
Noosa.
And I just watched it and went, what a shame. And, you know, up until the last few years, you'd still go up there and surf, but you can never get a park. You can never get around that roundabout. It's a pain in the ass, the whole thing. But what's happened is all the NIMBYs that have jumped in, not in my backyard, you know, the people that move in somewhere and they go, this is terrible. Stop all these other people from coming here. That's what happens in Noosa now. Mm. Over the last few years, they've been trying to stop Airbnbs to blame for this, of course.
Sorry to interrupt you. Did you not play a Thought on Sport?
Thought on Sport. That's what I thought too.
Is there sport in Noosa that you're going to address at some point, or am I pointing out something that's not obvious?
It's not about the journey, it's about the destination, okay? There could be a bit of sport
Continue
in my step.
I just had a moment where I was like, isn't this a sport bit?
My sport
what
is
Noosa got to
taking the piss out of Noosa. Not really, but the people have been going, oh, you know, that's a house. It's a short term. Now you've turned it into a party house, and that's been going on for a while.
Yeah.
Here we go.
That's like anywhere.
Right. Noosa is a magnet for group getaways. It's not hard to see why, but now fears the merry will be muzzled from next week. Noosa Shire Council laws targeting rowdy short-term rentals.
No singing. No singing.
Oh, really?
No clapping. No cheering. No nothing on balcony. Yeah, no clapping. I know. Clapping. Yeah.
What is this? The New South Wales nightclub?
I know.
What's that going on here? Isn't Mark McGowan got a hold of Noosa?
You can complain. Anyone can complain. And the cops will come round and shut it down, arrest you, boot you out.
How ridiculous.
And here comes the sport bit.
Just tell all the old people that live in Noosa to turn their hearing aids down and they'll be fine.
That's fine.
They won't be able to hear it.
What we want to remember. Do not send the Australian cricket team up there, especially Nathan Lyon. He'll lose his bond. That's sport.
There you go. That's Marto's Thought on Sport.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margot.
A lot of people say it's about time, and Pauline Hanson, again, she does this occasionally, speaks for a lot of people when she says there needs to be a Royal Commission into the management of the COVID-19 pandemic. I know I've been saying, when's this going to happen? And finally, I can't believe I agree with Pauline. Hi, Pauline.
Hi, Marcus. What do you mean you can't agree with me? You find it difficult? I speak a lot of common sense.
I know you do.
Pauline, the common sense that you have spoken just recently is that the federal politicians and the conduct has been irresponsible and disgusting, in your words. Why the push for this inquiry, Pauline? What is it that you feel like that they have done an injustice where?
Well, to start with, I believe they've treated themselves and judges and other people totally different than they have to the rest of the population. They haven't enforced that they must have vaccinations to actually do their job. I think that's inequality in itself. The thing is that decisions were made, and I think it's been very political. We've had border closures, people that have been kept away from their loved ones, the damage that it's done in the nursing aged care, where people couldn't see their loved ones, which stressed them more, and people were dying because of that. When people died from this COVID, they say, oh, they died with it. But there's so many underlying health factors as well. I don't believe we've been told the truth with the numbers.
So you it's virtually a report card on how they've done during the pandemic, which is something no one's ever encountered since 1920. But this will drag on forever. That's the only problem, and it'll be a drain on our taxpayers' money. What do you think it's going to achieve?
Marcus, don't you think that we have a right to know the truth? You know, businesses have gone under. People have lost their homes. They've lost their businesses.
Mental health, yeah.
Mental health. There's been suicides. There's been deaths that have happened because of poor mismanagement.
Domestic violence.
I agree with you, but I don't know how it's going to happen. They'll all but defend. They'll go, no, I was doing the best I could and all the rest of it. You know, politicians.
Well, I think that doctors have a right to actually have the right to come forward and speak about this matter. A lot of doctors were threatened if they speak out against this, they'll lose their license, be fined.
Well, a lot of people have already.
Correct. Doctors have walked away from this. We've got problems in the healthcare system. It's not because of COVID. I've known this for a long time. What they did was it's give the money to government heads to run the hospitals, put the money back into the administration of hospitals to run their own hospitals, be far better, and get the politicians and bureaucrats out of the hospital system to run it. That has been our problem, and I've been saying that for years. I know there's been a big problem in the hospitals for years. I hear from the nurses, I speak to the professionals. We have to know how to handle this next time around. You can't give all the power to these academics and these so-called health professionals who are bumbling their way through it, and politicians in using politically, because we've had a Queensland state election, plus also a WA election and a federal election, and this is why it's still going on.
Pauline, there's been a lot of rhetoric around that that this is not about our health anymore. This is about power and control, which is what you're saying, which is what you want an investigation into.
Correct, because under the Federal Constitution, Section 5123A, the federal government cannot enforce civil conscription for medical procedures, mm-hmm. and that needs to be investigated. Why has Morrison all the way along said, we can't mandate this, but it's allowed the states to go ahead and do it? Look at what McGowan's done. He said, I'm going to still keep the border shut. You've got to be triple vaxxed, you're going to have a RAT test, and you've got to do 2 weeks quarantine. I'm sorry, this is our country. People have the right to move about and see their family and friends. If you're really worried about this COVID, then people, whether you're vaxxed or unvaxxed, have the test. Make sure you're not carrying the virus. That's the bottom line.
Take accountability for your own health.
Now, you're talking about Royal Commission. That's at an official level. Have you heard any talk, or has anyone approached you about civil suits to go, listen, I lost $27 million. I want to get claw some of that money back. Is that a possibility where they take a class action?
Marcus, people are already doing it. I'm speaking to solicitors who have already started process into the court system and representing those ones. Look at the tradies, the people that have lost their jobs there. They're the ones as well, the hospitality industry. For what reasons? It's cost us trillions, billions of dollars, and we're running a debt now that taxpayers have to pay for it. And what my concern is, once Labor gets back in, taxes will go up because they're known to raise their taxes to raise money for it. We need to know how to handle this next time if we were to be hit by a pandemic again. That's what I'm saying. You can't allow these politicians to make the decisions, have the impact it's had on Australians, and then just walk away from their responsibility. It's not good enough.
Well spoken. That's magnificent. That was Paula Hanson. You're with Marcus and Margo on Triple M.
Marto and Margo, Triple M Breakfast.
It's 3 to 9, Double Shot Tuesday, kicking off soon here at 104.5 Triple M. Breakfast with Marto and Margo. Hey, can we thank Wendy and the team at Graceville Fine Foods? We spoke to Wendy about an hour ago, and she is just top. She's the new sponsor of the show, though, by the way, Graceville Fine Foods.
And remember to check out the Facebook page. She's got a GoFundMe link for the nurses on there if you want to donate some money. But we're helping her as well. Marto, tomorrow you said you wanted to go fishing.
I'm going fishing for the first time in the Brisbane River, just around the Hamilton Reach there somewhere. I wasn't going anywhere. I wasn't going to get on the water. And then we get a call from Andy, who's out there fishing. Can you help us with our fishing report? Because it seems low winds, low southeasterlies today and until tomorrow morning. If you got a vessel, get out there tomorrow morning. Hi, Andy.
How you going, mate?
Where are you?
I'm off your favourite place, off Moreton, but I actually live at Stratty, but I've come over here for a bit of a fish. It's a beautiful day. The bar was horrible. The bar is not nice at all, but the offshore is beautiful, not much swell, no wind, few fish. It's good.
What are you catching out there, Andy, off Moreton?
Spanish at the moment. I've got a few reef fish on the way over here, but I'm chasing Spanish, and there are a couple here, which is good for a change.
Spanish mackerel, always good. Now, listen, you were saying the bar. A lot of people go, what bar? They don't mean the drinking bar. You mean between
Not the gutter bar at the bottom of Moreton Island.
The Rouse Channel between Stratty and Moreton. Is that where you came through this morning?
Yeah, I came through this morning, and, it's been horrific for the last few weeks, but there's still a lot of carryover slop there. It's just not a very nice place to be at the moment. But anyway, we got out.
The bay tomorrow will be magnificent.
Yeah, the bay's always good compared to out here, but I like it out here because I catch a few fish and I sell a few fish and I enjoy it. So,
Andy, Australia Day tomorrow, people obviously going to be looking for something to do if they want to get out and about on the water. Where would you recommend to go if they want to have a fish or if they just want to put the boat in and jump off the front and have a swim?
Anywhere off Morton's good if you want to feed a whiting. There's plenty of whiting locally, you know, around Peel Island and stuff. There's snapper, there's sweeties. If you want to go offshore, it should be all right till about lunchtime tomorrow.
Mm.
If you pick your bar well, it'll be okay. And if you want a trial, go to Flinders Reef or the group at Stradbroke Island's going all right at the moment too.
So get out early. Like the sun's up. It's light by 4:30. Get out there early and you're home by lunchtime and then go and have your barbecue for Australia Day.
Mate, I wish I was home by lunchtime. I'll still be here tomorrow till tomorrow night. I reckon the way I'm going.
Some of us can do that, Andy, and some of us just do little stints.
Always a good thing to check the weather apps too. I mean, I don't know if I told you, Andy. I definitely told Mart about the last time we went out to Peel Island in our boat.
You nearly died.
Mm. Yeah.
They didn't nearly die, Andy. They just miscalculated a number of factors.
Almost nearly died.
We all do that. We all make mistakes at times. But, yeah, better to go on Windfind or any of those apps or the bomb and just see what's going to happen because you don't want to be out here. Sea breeze is the best, but you don't want to be out here when it's crap, that's for sure.
You know what you don't want, Andy, is the day I got dragged in by the Coast Guard into Manly there on a jet ski that had broken down and people clapped because they hate jets. Everyone hates jet skis. Ironic clapping. Don't be that guy.
I'm a jet ski hater as well, so...
Until you get on them, then they're unreal.
I love them. Yeah.
Thanks, Andy.
Andy, good fishing report.
Have a great Australia Day, and we'll see you two on Thursday, Triple M.